But I do want to direct your thoughts before I close to an understanding of mission. And it's found in Luke chapter 4, a perspective on mission, which I think is very appropriate, because it's all very well to think of what we are doing, but I think the more important question is to ask, what is God doing in the world today? And how can we play a part in his purposes? And so I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 4, and we'll read how Jesus begins his Galilean ministry when he reads from the prophet Isaiah. So turn with me to Luke chapter 4, verse 14. He has been tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who were oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The first half of my sermon was just thinking about how we keep in step with what God is doing and how we work in his power, but you can ask me about this afterwards. I want to just jump to think about this mandate that I think provides for us a model for mission as well, where in these verses Jesus came with good news to the poor, specifically release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, liberation for the oppressed. But hold on a minute. Is this really mission? Is it about work in the slums, prisons, eye hospitals, refugee camps? As we look at these verses, I think we need to take our blinkers off. And the first blinker to remove here is the one that limits the poor and the captive and the blind and the oppressed to purely physical and social states. What did Jesus say when he spoke to the church in Laodicea, Revelation 3:17? "You say, I'm rich, I've prospered, I need nothing, not knowing you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." You see, the arrogant, self-satisfied Western European, wealthy in his own eyes, is poverty-stricken in the eyes of God. He is most miserable before God, and ought to be in our eyes. We need to take a blinker off that blinds us to the utter poverty of people who look just like us and yet spiritually are absolutely desperate. Most of you work with people like that. Most of us live with people like that. Our hearts should go out to them, just as Jesus did to rich people in his day, Zacchaeus, who went and sought him out and did business with him. But I think the other blinker to remove when reading this text is to say just what we've said and then sit back and think we're following Jesus when we feel no compassion and take no action on behalf of people who are materially poverty-stricken, who are hungry, who are captured unjustly behind iron bars, who are physically afflicted with diseases like blindness and oppressed by heartless human power brokers. And such people rub shoulders with us as well. We should feel compassion for the rich who are bringing eternal misery on themselves through slavery to comfort. And we should feel compassion to the poor who are crushed by present circumstances as well as their eternal plight. Folks, we need to be unashamed that the greatest and most loving thing that we can do for anybody is release them from the captivity of sin, to heal them from the blindness of unbelief, and to set them at liberty from the oppression of Satan. So let's not lose sight of what God is doing in the rich West, nor snip out the social and material signs of good news that are called for when we think about mission. North African Muslim convert came to the church service that I attended in Shadotiri, a guy who was just overflowing with joy. He hadn't shaved, I don't think, for a few days, and I got a kiss here and a kiss here, and his big bristles were a bit overpowering for a conservative Northern Irish man. I asked Andrew what was the story in his life. Well, he had been addicted to drugs, and the Lord had miraculously delivered him. A life turned around after captivity to drug addiction. God is at work. It's about a rescue from all of the effects of sin. In Spain, the rising curiosity about Halloween and all things related to that led Andrew Reid to organise a special service this time last year. Members got questionnaires that they asked their friends about what happens after death, what do you think about spirits, all sorts of questions to get them to feed into a special service that was held then at Halloween. Friends came and Andrew preached, and he dealt with the deep fears and suspicions that surround this issue. He presented the good news as the only source of confidence beyond the grave. And in response, two people gave their lives to Christ. Are we good news like that? There's a mission challenge for all of us. We don't need to go to Spain, France, Peru, even across the border. Good news to the poor. But let me finish with this quotation from Isaiah 61. The way Jesus quotes this reveals a mystery about the Messiah's coming. It's an extraordinarily short reading of scripture for a synagogue. He breaks off right in the middle of a verse as Jesus talks about proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. And he stops. Of course, if you know Isaiah chapter 61 verse 2, it says, "This is the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God." So why didn't Jesus finish the sentence? Well, I'm sure many of you know the answer. Because it's a two-act drama. Isaiah didn't see it in that way. The Old Testament prophets saw the drama as one whole and didn't separate the two acts. They anticipated salvation and judgment together. John the Baptist did the same. The year of liberation and the day of vengeance were all one. But when Jesus comes, he says, "If anyone hears my sayings and doesn't keep them, I do not judge them, for I did not come to judge the world, but save the world." See, the first coming of Jesus ushered in this favorable year of the Lord. A year, a space of time for salvation, not judgment. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation." We live in a day of great patience and great grace. God withholds his judgment. He offers full amnesty to every one of us here. To our rebellious hearts, while this year lasts. But when this day of salvation is over and the time appointed by the Father has come, then a day of vengeance will arrive, and the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 61 verse 2 will be completed. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians that at the end of this interval of patience, the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance upon those who do not know God and upon those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, what Jesus says here in Luke 4 at the outset of his ministry is that he is the Messiah, and he's ushering in a day of good news, a day of release and healing and liberation. And for now, the day of vengeance is postponed. This is a day of good news for you. If you're here and you do not know Christ, be assured the day of vengeance is coming. And for each of us, are you prepared to make the most of this day of good news, this year of favor? To go to our friends and neighbors, to spare no effort to make sure that people know this is a day of grace, an opportunity that will not last. For surely that great and terrible day is coming when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance upon those who do not know God. What is mission? Mission is following in the footsteps of Jesus. It's seeing people as he sees them. It's living with that reality that this day will not last. So let us, with God's grace, redouble our efforts to make him known.